Okay. CPM, obviously, today is the 12th of September 2004. Kaf Vav. Was it Kaf Zayin? Elorim. Tavshin Samach Dalet. North End in Kolo. Okay, I thought we'll have a go at learning from the whole of Sefer Yonah. It's 48 psukim, we've got 50 minutes, or just under, and we'll have a go. Sefer Yonah, just by way of introduction, Sefer Yonah was written by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and it forms one of the Trei Osar, of course, one of the 12 small Svarim of Nevi'im. Yonah himself, the according to one Medrash, Yonah was the young boy whom Eliyahu HaNavi brought back to life. From the woman from Tzarfas, Isha from Tzarfas, the woman from Tzarfas, and Eliyahu HaNavi brought him back to life, and that was the and that was that little boy who grew up to be Yonah HaNavi. By Hidv Hashem El Yonah Ben Amitai Lemer, and the word of Hashem came to Yonah the son of Amitai Lemer, saying, but I think the Gemara says in Megillah, I haven't checked it out, Michael will know. I think the Gemara says in Megillah that Amitai was also a Navi, but I'm not sure. This word of Hashem came to Yonah, where and when did it happen? It happened, Yonah lived during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, should point that out. And when did he get this Nevuah? Says the Gemara Yerushalmi, he received the Nevuah at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Over Sukkot's time, the Simcha of the dancing and so on in the Beis HaMikdash would often induce Nevuah. And Yonah received this Nevuah to go to Nineveh and tell them to do Teshuvah there and then at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Pasuk Beis, Kum Lecha Nineveh, get up, go to Nineveh, Hoya Agdela, the big town, Okra Lecha, and call out to it, make an announcement. Why? Why should you make an announcement? Ki Al Sara Al Samna Fono, because their evil has come up before me. What exactly was their evil? Says the Gemara, their evil was Gezela, or Geneva. That was their primary Avera. They did many, many Averas, but the main one was, of course, Geneva. Nineveh was the capital city of Ashur, Assyria, which is northeast of Eretz Yisrael, northeast. And Yonah, of course, was reluctant to go. Why was Yonah reluctant to go? Several reasons are given. One very simple reason is given by the Abarbanel, that he didn't want to go because Ashur was predestined to be the nation to come and destroy the northern part of Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Sancheirev and Rashoke, and of course Yonah didn't want to have a hand in saving them at this stage. That incident with Sancheirev happened at least 60 years later, according to Rabbi Art Scroll, at least 60 years after this story of Yonah, and Yonah knew about that, also been a ruah, and didn't want to have a part in saving Asher. Therefore, he was reluctant to go. That's the pshat given by the Abarbanel. A far more simple pshat is given by many of the Rishonim, and Rashi brings it, namely that at that stage in history, Klal Yisrael were also busy leading a life of Avira, primarily serving Avodah Zarah. And many times, many Nevi'im, Yonah himself included, had gone to Talmud to do Teshuvah, and they'd laughed them out of court. They thought the Nevi'im were all big frummers and not interested, and they weren't interested in Yonah, and they ignored the Nevi'im. Therefore, Yonah didn't want to have a hand in encouraging a town of non-Jews to do Teshuvah. Why? We make a terrible chil Hashem. A town of non-Jews go and do Teshuvah, and yet Klal Yisrael continue persistent in their Averis. And that's the main shot given by the Rishonim, that's why Yonah chose not to go to Nineveh. And Yonah got up to run away to Tarshish, Milifnei Hashem from before Hashem, Vayirid Yofo, he went down to Yofo, Vayimsa'on, which is of course by the seashore, Vayimsa'on Yonah, and he found a boat, Botas Tarshish, going to Tarshish, Vayitain Tzparah, he paid his fare, basically bought himself a ticket, Vayiribah, he boarded the boat, Lavon, wanted to come with them, Tarshish, to Tarshish, Milifnei Hashem from before Hashem. So a few things to note there. First of all, where is this place Tarshish? So I found in the Ibn Ezra defines it as Tunis. I think that's in Africa, isn't it? North Africa. Yeah, that's Ibn Ezra learns it as being Tunis. The Targum on this pasuk translates Tarshish as Yama, as the sea. In other words, the word Tarshish doesn't really mean, it's not its place name, it's a generic word for the oceans, for the sea. And he was just running away to sea, go anywhere, but not, don't stay here. And why was he so keen to get out of Eretz Yisrael? Because he knew that once he'd be outside Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would no longer speak to him with any Nevuah. He didn't want any more Nevuah, he was resolute not to go to Nineveh. So if he gets away from Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to speak to him anymore. One interesting phrase here is by Yered Yoffa, he went down to Yoffa. Now going down implies could either mean going south, or it could mean actually descending in altitude. So where was Yonah at that time? Yonah lived in a town, was either in Yerushalayim, which ties in very nicely with the fact that he had this nevuah at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or his hometown was, I think, a place called Gas Hefer. I don't know where that is. But the Radak points out that we say he was going down because going to sea is always considered going down. We say it in English as well, going down to the sea. Yeah. That's right, going down to the seaside, yeah. Let's go down to the sea. So Vayered Yochanan. And the Radak quotes a few other psukim to say that, which all denote going down, Yerodei Hayom, those who go down to the sea. So even if he wasn't technically descending in altitude, or even if technically he wasn't going south, he was still entitled to use this lush and going south. Oh, but not yet in that stage, because he says Vayered Yoffo prior to Vayimsa Onya, prior to finding the boat. Yeah?
To this year, as a dead
piece,
about 2,000 miles
further
from.
Is that right? 2,000 miles?
What's that? Middle of the northwest back.
Ah, wow.
So it's 2-3 hours.
Okay, another interesting one is this Ba'os Sarshish. We know from the story of Yaakov when he came to meet Rachel. Yeah, Rachel. Where it says the Rachel Ba'o im Hatzon. I think it's a lashon of Rachel Ba'o and Rachel Ba'o. Here the accent goes on the aleph. But it's on your Ba'o Tarshish, which is considered a present tense. It was coming to Tarshish, which is on Pasuk Gimel. Coming to Tarshish, and there the Mufashim say that the boat was actually a shuttle service going to and from Tarshish. So because Ba'o really means coming, present tense, coming to Tarshish. But it seems that it was a two-way service. By Yitin Schara, he paid its fare. From a first one, we'll latch onto this. He paid its fare. Would normally just said by Yitin Sochar, he paid a fare. He paid its fare. He paid the fare for the entire boat, because this boat was similar to the modern Sheiritz taxis that wouldn't move until they had a full complement of passengers. And so he was in a big hurry. He was the first passenger on board, says Rashi. He was the first passenger, and he said, "Come on, let's go, let's sail." And the captain and the sailor say, "No, not yet. You know, what's the rush? We haven't got any more. We're waiting for some more passengers." And he said, "Okay, I paid the fare for the entire boat," and he bought every seat on that boat. Another thing, say the Rishonim, is that he paid in advance. Normally, passengers on board would not pay until the end of the journey. That was the custom in those days. I'd like to encourage that now with the travel agents. But he paid in advance of the journey. And off he goes to Tarshish, Melifnah Hashem from Mephashem. Pasuk Dalit. Hashem hit a rock at Elalim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cast a great wind into the sea by Yisar God of Elalim. There's a great storm in the sea. And the boat looked as though it was going to smash to pieces. Pasuk Hey. By Yuram Malachim, the sailors were scared. By Yizakur Yishal Elohav, each man cried out to his God. The Rashi explains that there was a representative from every one of the 70 nations on board that boat, and they all had their own idols, and they all worshipped different gods. So here, by Yisakor Shalalav, each man cried out to his god, by Atidah Sakilim, and they threw the luggage or the vessels, Asher Ba'on Yodah, on the boat, Aleyom, to the sea, Lehokeh Me'alem, to make it lighter for them, for Yonah, but Yonah, that Vav is a disjunctive Vav, but Yonah Yorad, he went down Eliyakis Esefina to the side of the boat or to the hold of the boat. Vayishkav, he lay down, Vayeradam, and he fell fast asleep. It's a remarkable thing, we've got this enormous storm and the boat is threatening to smash to pieces, and everybody's crying out to their gods and they're all chucking the luggage overboard, and he goes down and has a Gesunter Shabbos afternoon shlok. Why on earth did he do that? So there are lots of pshatim on that. Rabbi Nubachai says he had betochen. he was so trusting that Kodesh Baruch Hu would save them that he chose that moment to demonstrate the bitachon by sleeping. It's a remarkable pshat. You know, you say you demonstrate your bitachon by davening. No, he chose to do it in a different manner. Kodesh Baruch Hu will save us, and I'm certain of that, so he chose to have a shlof instead.
He didn't deserve that idea because he was running away.
He was running away. Nonetheless, he trusted Yaakov Shvachar to that extent. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, there's a lot of medrash on Sefer Yonah in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. So as I remember, it's chapter 33, Lamed Gimel, I think, in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. And he points out totally the opposite, that he went to sleep because he was depressed. He knew he'd done wrong by not going to Nineveh. He was depressed and he decided to sleep off that depression. So he chose to have a shlof.
Resigned,
yeah, like that, yeah. So he fell asleep. One very interesting shot is brought by the Malbim on this pasuk, and this is a real knockout shot. He points the Malbim, you know, the Malbim had this tremendous knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh, and he picked out all the diyukim and the changes of wording and grammar, and he points out that right up to the pasuk Hey, and including Pasuk Hey, we refer to the boat using the word Oniyah, which means a boat or a ship. Here it changes to Safina. Why? So the Malbim says the word Safina is related to the word Sofun, to be hidden. It's got almost the same letters. Safina is Samach Feinun, and Sofun is Tzadi Feinun, and the Samach and the Tzadi are interchangeable letters because they're both sibilant sounds, and they've got a similar sound with a certain sound. So he says Sofun, but Sofun means hidden. Yonah wanted to hide. Why did he want to hide? Yonah was resigned and he wanted to die. And he felt this boat is going to sink. They all thought the boat would sink. When the boat sinks, they'll be looking for survivors. They'll schlep everyone from the wreckage. He said, if I'm hidden away, no one will find me. And he would drown very quietly and he would disappear from the... You know, he wouldn't have to do this in the vua. He wouldn't be running away. He was so resigned and depressed. Yeah. The drowning would be his way out. So he hid on the boat.
In order to
have a sort of a quiet finish to the whole story.
It's very interesting for Yerodam. It's an unusual thing. Harodama in modern Greek is anesthesia. It's more than a thing. When they vanished, took the wind out of water. God used an anesthetic.
The captain of the boat. Chovel is a chevel is a rope, and the chovel is someone who operates the ropes, like a sailor does the rigging, and the rav chovel is the one who's in charge. So he's the captain. The father-in-law would be pleased. And the captain of the boat came near to it. He approached Yonah. By Yonah, he said to Malach Hanudon, what are you doing fast asleep? Come, get up. Call out to your God. Maybe God will notice us. Maybe he'll take notice of us. And we won't perish. Each man said to his friend, that's all the sailors, let's cast lots, we'll know who's caused all this evil to us, we'll know who's to blame. They knew that someone was to blame, and let's find out who it is. And the lot fell on Yonah. So Rashi points out, why did they feel that anyone was to blame? Maybe it was just a normal storm at sea, and it comes with the job of being a sailor. So why on earth did they think that anyone was to blame, such that casting lots would find the culprit? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the storm was only on their boats, and they would look across the sea and they saw a really calm, quiet sea, and the storm followed their boats and only their boats, and they knew something was up with their boats. And they were religious people, which is why they really believed that casting a lottery would come up with the answer. In fact, they didn't just cast one lottery. Mapilo Guralos is a plural, lotteries. They didn't just once, because that would be a chance.
By way of elimination.
Oh, so yes, or if you just do one lottery, then it doesn't necessarily prove anything. Statistically, it wouldn't prove a thing. So they did it many, many times, and each time, by Yipalagola, Yonah, each time the lot fell on Yonah. Pasuk Ches. Vayomrei lo, they said to him, now they know he's the culprit. Vayomrei said to him, Agidon Alonu, please tell us, because of whom has this evil happened to us? Mama Lachtucha, so they're asking all the Yiddish questions. Where you from? What do you do? How much do you earn? Mama Lachtucha, what's your work? I'm going to tell her where you're from. Ma'atecha, what's your land? And Be'im is there, Am'otam, which nation are you from? So the Mefarshim say, the reason why they asked them these questions was to try and jog Yonah's memory. You've obviously done some terrible avera. One avera have you done? And we're asking these questions to see if we can jog your memory. So they ask him, Mama Lachtucha, what's your job? Maybe you've been dishonest in your parasa, and therefore you've got to do teshuva. If you do teshuva, then the sea will calm down. Or may I tovo, where are you from? So Rashi points out that maybe there's been a gezeira on the people of your place. Mo'atzecha, what land? Similar sort of question. Maybe you come from a country of Rishayim. Ve'im is Amot, what nation are you from? Again, maybe your nation is a hated nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's pointed out by the Radak. So all these questions were, maybe you come from a bad background, and for that background alone, you ought to be doing teshuva. The whole idea to jog him into doing teshuva with a view to stopping the storm. Test, positive test. Vayom Alem, he said to them, Ivri Anochi, I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Jew. That's Hashem Kashim Amen Yori, and I fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God of the heavens, Asher Alsa Sayom Eser Abashu, who made the sea and the dry land. So so the Radak points out that in fact he only answered, the Radak points out that when he said Ivri Anochi, I'm a Jew, with that he was answering the last questions first. What's your country and what nation are you from? So then he answered Ivri Anochi, I'm a Jew. Then the first questions, where they said, are you dishonest in business, maybe? With that, he said, no, I'm a Eurasian man. I feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a true Eurasian man. I've never had any, it's not going to be in any way dishonest. I'm an honest Yid, and therefore, no, I haven't done any others of that score. Pasuk Yud. Vayiru ha-noshin, the men were scared. Yiru ha-gazel, a great fear, they were petrified. Vayomei lo be-sitim, so what is this that you've done? Tell us, what have you actually done? And then the pasuk gives us the background. There's obviously a long conversation that now takes place between Yonah and the sailors, which the pasuk doesn't record verbatim. Ki yadu'u amashim, the men knew, ki melifnei Hashem uvariach. They knew that he was running away from Hashem. And how did they know? Ki gidlem, because he had told them. So he's filled them in on all details of his whole background, of the nevuot, to go to Nineveh, and to tell Nineveh to do teshuvah. And he's told them he didn't want to go, and he's told them why he didn't want to go. So therefore they say to him, Mazu sasisa, what is this that you've done? You've no right to, you're running away from HaKadosh Baruch. You're some kind of nutcase.
I have a problem by the answer Ivri Anochi. The word Ivri, okay, we have it from a Rome, Ravim, Ivano, but it's just, it doesn't fit in somehow.
You should have said Yisrael. Yeah. Yisrael Ani.
Ivri is the Lord. Ivri. Ivri, Israel, Yehudi, you know, but Ivri.
Yehudi, I think it's the.
Like Eved Ivri, for instance. Yes, for an Eved, you call him Eved Ivri.
So that's the law, never cast.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't think I saw anything as to why he uses the word Ivri. Yudalf. What should we do to you? Now we know that you're the culprit. Give us an idea. What should we do with you? Manasalach, he was a dangerous guy to have on board. He's causing the storm. They're all going to drown. Manasalach, what should we do to you? You said that the sea should quieten down from upon us. And then the pasuk explains, the sea was becoming more and more stormy. It was getting worse and worse. Vayomalein, he said to them, this is now Yonah's idea. So Uni, lift me up. Vatiluni and Ayom, and throw me into the sea. Vyishtakayom Alechem, and the sea will quieten down from upon you. Ki yodea oni, because I know, ki v'shiliyah asar God alez Alechem, that this storm, this great storm, is upon you because of me. It's all my fault. I know it's my fault. He takes the culpability, and therefore throw me overboard. And of course, as far as he was concerned, that would be the end of him, and as far as they were concerned, that would be the end of him. And it's a remarkable thing, of course, that committing suicide is, of course, a terrible avera, but he wouldn't, and the Mefarshim point out, he wouldn't be, and the Malbim points it out, he wouldn't be doing it himself. He wouldn't be, he would be an indirect cause of his own death. He wouldn't be committing suicide directly, and therefore, as an avera, it wouldn't be considered such an avera. But he reckoned that was the only solution to throw him overboard. Vayachturu anoshim, and the men rowed hard. The word vayachturu really means to dig, like we have in Bamachteres. In Parshas Mishpatim. The guy digs his way into your home and you find him at night. So Machteres really is to dig.
Underground.
So Vayachturu is to dig. with the oars in the water, which of course we know to be rowing. It's a similar action, you're pushing the oars to the water, which means to row. By Yachtanoshan, the men rowed hard, or they rowed, Lashav Alei Abasha, to get back to land, to return. V'lo Yacholu, but they weren't able to. Why? Ki Ayamelech V'Sanim, because the sea was getting worse and worse. It wasn't improving. By Yukal Hashem, so now the sailors have won, in possibly of Gimel, although he's told them to throw me overboard, they didn't do it. They had one last ditch attempt to get through the storm by rowing, and it just didn't work, so now they're going to throw him overboard. But they were very reluctant to do so. By Yukal Hashem, and they called out Hashem, by Yom, and they said, on Hashem, please God, Al Nono Dob Nefesh Oish Hazeh, please don't let us perish because of the life of this man. We're going to kill him. Please don't hold us culpable for throwing him overboard and killing him. Don't place upon us, or don't blame us with innocent blood. Ki ata Hashem, because you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, your God. Kasher chatastos Yisrael, as you've wanted, you've done. You wanted this storm, you've got a storm, and you want us to kill him in order to save our own skins. That's what we're going to do, and it's really down to your own rotzen. That's what you've engineered all the way along. What you see in this pasuk, and of course the next pasuk, the next couple of pasukim, is that the sailors have now done teshuva. Earlier on, it said by Yizaku Eshel Elohov, each one cried out to his God. They were Odeh Avodah Zarah. They weren't Jewish. They were idol worshippers. That were the lowest of the low. Here, suddenly you see they're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiyata Hashem. So they have become Bali Teshuvah. And their Teshuvah was a total, total Teshuvah. So that is the first of the reasons why we lame Yonah on Yom Kippur, because of the sailors' teshuvah. Later on we see that Nineveh do teshuvah, and later still we see that Yonah himself does teshuvah. He himself is really sorry for having gone to Nineveh in the first place. So the whole story is a story of teshuvah. The sailors, Nineveh, and Yonah himself. Tesvav. By Yisrael Yonah, they lift up Yonah. By Yitzibuhu El Hayom, and they throw him overboard into the sea. By Yamot Hayom Izap, and the sea stops still from its anger. Of course, the sea isn't angry. It's just a sort of personification of the sea, as though the sea is angry. The storm calms down. Tesvav. Vayuru Hanoshim Yuro Gadol, and the men feared a great fear. They're petrified. As far as they were concerned, they'd killed a man. There again, you see, they become Yirei Shamayim. They fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. By Yizbuch Zevach LaHashem, and they offered up sacrifices to God. By Yudu Nedarim, and they made Nedarim, they made vows. Now, what exactly did they sacrifice, and what exactly did they undertake in these Nedarim? So it's a big machlokes. Rashi says, what did these Nedarim, what did they swear, what did they promise? Rashi, one word Rashi, one of these one word Rashis that sort of tells you volumes in one word, Sheyis Gairim. They took Nedarim that they would become Gairim, and they kept that Nedar, they all became Gairim eventually, became Gairim. The Radak says, no. The Radak joins the Nedarim to the Vayizbuch Zevach. They offered sacrifices. So the Radak asks Akasha, they offered sacrifices, they're in the middle of the ocean, what kind of sacrifice are they going to offer up? So he says, the Nedarim were Nedarim to bring sacrifices. As and when we reach the shore safely, then we will bring Karbonis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems that they kept that. And the Pirkei of Elezer takes it one stage further. The Pirkei of Elezer quotes a pasuk, which I'm afraid I didn't jot down, so of course I can't remember it, that Bris Milah is referred to as a Zevach, as a sacrifice. And the Vayizbuch Zevach was that they promised they would become Gerim and do Bris Milah. And they did. Eventually they did. Oh, we've done Perek Aleph. Right, by Peribes, by Man Hashem Dov Gadol, and Hashem prepared a large fish, Livla Asiyem, to Solat Yonah. Hasten to add, it was not a whale. This is the major misunderstanding. It was not a whale, because a whale is not considered wouldn't be called dog. A whale is a mammal, not a dog. Dog is a fish which carries its young. And dogfish, yeah. A whale would be considered something like a chaya or a tamin, maybe, something like that, but certainly not dog. So by Man Hashem Dov Gadol, Hashem prepared the last fish, Ludosim Sarab Yana, Yana Bumi Adog. Yana was in the stomach of the fish, Shlosha Yamim Shlosha Lilis, 3 days and 3 nights. So Rav Tarfin points out this by a man. I haven't seen this Rav Tarfin inside, but I just saw it quoted in Rabbeinu Art Scroll, that Rav Tarfin points out that when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepare the fish? Mishesh Yesimei HaBriya. It was one of the things prepared by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Bereishis. It wasn't the Liv Yassam. He points out it was not the Liv Yassam. The Liv Yassam does play a part in the Sefer Yonah, though. And Dov Gadol, a large fish, Of course, that was amazed that the fish was there to swallow up the owner. He wasn't in the water for very long, otherwise he wouldn't have survived. He was immediately swallowed up. But Rabbi Nebuchai points out, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a mace, we're having a fish swallow up Yonah, it doesn't cost HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore to have a small fish swallow Yonah, and it'll be another mace. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to operate, if he has to do a mace, he'll minimize the mace, so it was a large fish, large enough to swallow a human being. The Rabbeinu Baha'i points out, though, Dog Godol, Godol does not mean large, it means old in years. Godol Bashanim, it was a really old fish prepared by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Bereishis, so it was old in years. And Yonah prayed to Hashem his God, Nimei Hadogof, from the stomach of the fish. And here, of course, you have a huge kasha. In Pasuk Aleph, we says Bimei Hadog, swallowed by a dog, which is a male fish. Here it's Mimei Hadoga, female fish. Why the change from male to female? So, Rashi points out that he was swallowed by a male fish, Bimei Hadog. He stayed there for 3 days and three nights and did not daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For those 3 days and three nights, he should have davened, but he didn't daven. Why didn't he daven? He was comfortable. I don't know how comfortable he can be in a fish, but he was somehow comfortable inside that fish. Why? There's plenty of room to move around within the hollow carcass, the hollow body, or the fuselage, if you like, the hollow fuselage of the fish. He had plenty of room to move around. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to daven, wanted to stop him into davening. So he had the male fish swallow him out, spit him out. He was then swallowed by a female fish, which was carrying lots of young. Suddenly, there's no room to move around. He was very squashed, he was in a very clutched position, and therefore he felt uncomfortable, and therefore he davened. But he only davened Nime'e HaDogah, from the stomach of the female fish, because there he felt the pressure due to the young being carried by the mother fish. The Zohar has a different shot. The Zohar says that dog is a living fish, and Dogah is a dead fish. Quoting from the pasuk in Parshas Bo, where we have the makkah of Dom, it says, "B'hadogah asher bayar mesa," the fish in the Nile died. Dogah is a dead fish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the dead fish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the fish. He swallowed by a first fish, dog, living fish. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed it. So now Yonah is in a dead fish. And suddenly, you know, I'm in the dead fish, all the other fish swim in for the feast. They were going to eat the carcass of the dead fish. And Yonah began sittering, Ove, the other fish are eating this dead fish, and eventually they're going to reach me. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did chis, and that's Mimei HaDogah, that's where he davened. Let's just zoom through to Pasuk Yud Aleph in this chapter. The very last Pasuk in this chapter, Vayim Hashem Ladog. This is right at the end. Hashem spoke to the fish, and the fish spat him out. So you can see we're back to dog again, back to male fish. What happened there? So some of us should say that the female fish spat him out again, and then he's followed up again by a male fish. After he davened, in the discomfort of the female fish, he was then swallowed up by a male fish again, and then from there he was spat out. But according to the second shot given by the Zohar, that the first swallowed by a living fish, dog, that living fish was killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and became Dogah. There he davened, worried that he would be eaten by all the other fish. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu did chesamisim on the fish and brought that fish back to life, and therefore it's back again into being dog. Amazing shot in here. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Oh, let's go. Now we come to, from Pasuk Gimel, we have Yonah's tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, within the fish. And the tefillah is a mixture of hope that I will be saved, and also a bit of desperation, like, I hope I will be saved, you know, and please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. You saved me so far, so good, I'm still alive. The Ebenezer points out the fact that Yonah was alive inside the fish is an incredible ace. It had to be an ace. Who can survive inside a fish? He was alive, he survived. That must have been an ace. Yonah was cognizant of that ace, and therefore davened that he should be granted further life and eventually survive the ordeal. Possible. Vayomer, he said, Karasi mitzor li'an Hashem, I've cried out from my travels to HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayaneni, and he's answered me, Mebeten Sha'ol, from the stomach of the fish, which is my Sha'ol, this is my grave, Shivati, I've cried out, Shamat, okay, you've heard my voice. You cast me into the depths, Bilavad Yamim, in the heart of the seas, Venari Sidavini, and the river surrounds me, Kamish Barecha Vegalecha Layavaro, all your breakers and all your waves passed over me. A beautiful pasuk. I mean, if we would look at a pasuk and the beauty of poetry.
Yoel must have said Tilim before that, and do from the Tilim.
I saw that in the art scroll on Sefer Yonah. He says, because some of the pasukim are redolent of some pasukim in Tehillim, and it says that, yes, it says that Yonah was undoubtedly familiar with Tehillim from David HaMelech, and he drew from some of those pasukim, absolutely. If you look at pasuk Dalet, what strikes me in pasuk Dalet is that there are five expressions there for water. Metzula, Yamim, Nahar, Mishbarecha, and Galecha. And the most obvious word for water is Mayim, and that's the word Yonah doesn't use. He uses all these beautiful expressions, real poetical expressions. His Lamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants the Tefillah to sound as beautiful and poetical as possible. It's just from the beauty of the Lashon, it's phenomenal. Pasukei, Vani Amarti, and I've said, Nigrashti Mineged Enecha, I've been driven away from before your eyes. I'm stuck down here in the fish, and says, I've been driven away from before you. Ach, but, Osif Labit, I will again stare El Heichal Kodesh on your holy temple. In other words, I hope to recover from all of this, I hope to survive, and I'll get back to your Beis HaMikdash, Heichal Kodesh, to your holy temple. He was doubling that he should survive and return at some stage to visit the Beis HaMikdash. Afafuni Maimad Nefesh, the water surrounds me, Ad Nefesh, to the point, well, Nefesh means life, but it means to the point that my life is threatened, meaning to the point of death. Tomu Sarabini, the depths surround me, I'm surrounded by water, water everywhere, no any drop to drink. Suf Chavush Leroshi, with reeds tangled around my head. So a few things on this pasuk. Afafuni, the Mahari Kora, one of the Rishonim on the pasuk, says that Afafuni, which means to surround me, is an expression of Af, of the nose, as though the water's gone and ran up my nose, and I almost have drowned. Well, I suppose if he came out of the ship before he was swallowed, the water indeed would have entered his nostrils. And he says the Lashon of Af, of nose. And the water went up his nose. Suf Chavush Leroshi, the Midrashim say that this fish took him on a grand tour of the world. And that tour went to many places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed Nisim for Klal Yisrael. And of course, the prototype nase is the nase of the Yam Suf. And this Suf Chavush Leroshi, the reeds tangled around my head, is a remes to the Yam Suf. He says, and the fish took him there. And he could look out, the Medrash says, and don't ask me to explain, because I have no clue what it means, that Yonah could look out of the fish through the fish's eyes, and he could see all these remarkable places. Rabbi Cooper once said to me that harder than all the most hard halachic gemaras pale into easiness in comparison to Medrashim. He's trying to make head and tail of Medrashim. Very hard to understand.
Yeah,
as I stated, Medrashim. Pasuk Zayin. Lekitzvei Harim Yaradati, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. We're talking about undersea mountains, Jacques Cousteau sort of stuff. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. Ha'aretz, the earth, b'richeh ha'va'adi le'olam, its bars have locked against me forever. I hear this is a very despairing pasuk. He's saying, I'm locked out of the world. I'll never get back to planet Earth. Because I'm sat down here. So the earth is the bars of the world have been closed against me. But now you have hope. You've lifted my life from the depths, from the pit, or from the abyss. Hashem Lokoi, Hashem is my God. And of course he's saying, you've lifted up my life, because the Maisa, I'm still alive. So far, so good. I'm still alive. And Yonah realized this is a huge nation, so it's a mixture of hope and despair as well. So it's a bit of a mixture. When my soul felt faint within me, when my life felt faint, when I felt beishvach, es Hashem zecharti, I remembered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'atavei lecha tevilasi, my prayer came before you, elechal kodshecha, to your holy temple. Says the Medrash, the fish took him to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and this is where he davened. He davened from the water underneath the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he said, v'atavei lecha tevilasi, my prayer came to you, to the area of the Beis HaMikdash, elechal kodshecha, to the holy temple. We now come to the shortest and hardest pasuk in Sefer Yonah. I love this pasuk. It's very, very short and very hard. Meshamrim havle shov. Hevel means rubbish, and shov also means rubbish or worthlessness. Meshamrim havle shov. Those who guarded absolute rubbish, it's a double expression of rubbish, chastom yazuvu, will leave their kindness. So what exactly does this pasuk mean? Rashi says it refers to the sailors on the boat. The Ote Avodah Zarah, they guarded their Avodah Zarah. We saw before that they served Avodah Zarah. They guarded their Avodah Zarah, you know, looked after it, I don't know, whether it was bits of stone or wood, they would have wrapped it up in bubble wrap, you know, to look after it. That's Meshamim HaBeshav, says Yonah, but these men are all going to become Balei Teshuva. Chasdom, the object of their kindness, namely the Avodah Zarah, Yazovu, they'll leave that, they're going to leave that behind. They will do Teshuva. That's how Rashi lands. Another pshat is that chastom yazuvu, that the word chastom does not refer to the Avodah Zarah, the object of the kindness, but the real chesed, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chastom yazuvu, in the past they've deserted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that ties in with the next pasuk Yud, which contrasts with that. Va'ani, but I, b'kol toda es b'chalach, I will sacrifice a carbon toda to you. So he's saying the sailors on the boat, they've deserted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I will don't desert HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got a few of those pshatim mixed up. The first pshat, the chastam yazuvu, is saying that they will leave behind their objects of their kindness, namely the Avodah Zarah, that's from the Radak. I got it a bit wrong before, that's from the Radak. Whereas the second pshat is from Rashi, that they've deserted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chastam yazuvu, they've deserted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I won't desert HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I, with the voice of thanksgiving, Ezra Chalach, I will sacrifice to you. I will bring a proper Korban Todah. If I survive this ordeal, I will bring a Korban Todah to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Ardarati, that which I've sworn, Ashalemok, I will fulfill. I hereby swear I will bring a Korban Todah, and I will fulfill that promise if I survive. Yeshuasa Lashem, salvation belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He alone can save me. Now what's this Hashem Adati Hashanimah? And what's it? Let's go first to the commentator. What's the commentator? So the Mahari Korah, one of the Rishonim, points out that who is hired to bring a Korban Todah? So the Gemara says in Brachos there are four types of people who have to bring a Korban Todah. One is a person who travels by sea. Survives the journey, he brings Korban Todah. Another one is someone who crosses the desert. Another one is someone who recovers from an illness. And someone who survives an ordeal in prison. So the Mahari Korah points out that at least one of these applied to Yonah, and I once saw somewhere that all four applied to Yonah. He did cross the sea, of course. Crossing the desert, well, I suppose if the fish took him under the water, underneath the earth, he would have gone through areas of desert land up above. He was certainly an ill person. My goodness, you know, you don't come out of this thing, you don't come out of the fish fit as a fiddle, and he didn't. And of course, the fish was a prison to him, and he survived that. So if anyone was hired a Korban Todah, he would be hired. And here he undertakes being Korban Todah, he guarantees he'll bring it. That's one thing. Another medrash, which I think comes in the Zohar, is to do with the Livyosan, which you mentioned. Hashem Adarati, I've promised that I will kill the Livyosan. I have no idea what that means. And apparently it was only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard that, okay, now you've made that undertaking, possibly Adalat, Vayim Hashem Adal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the fish and gave the fish the instruction, Vayokes Yonah, and it spat out Yonah, Eli Abosha to the dry land. The Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer points out that he came out of that fish an absolute shambles, you know, sort of dragged through a hedge backwards. As you can imagine, you know, his clothes were ripped to pieces, his hair had fallen out, the whole ordeal had left him very, very sick and unwell. The Zohar says, Vayom Hashem Nadav, Hashem spoke to the fish. When did Hashem speak to the fish? Coming back to what we learned, that the fish was preordained at the time of Bereishis, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had spoken to the fish to tell the fish to spit Yonah out. It goes all the way back to the Masa Bereishis. Right. Okay. We finished two parakim. Can't believe it. Right. Parak Gimel. Vayidva Hashem el Yonah sheilis lemer, and the word of Hashem came to Yonah for a second time, saying, Kum, get up, leicha, nimigo, zinimigo, yagdolu, the big town, or kuroa eleha, and call out to it. Make this esakriya. Call out the announcement, Hashem lechidva lecha, which I am saying to you. And this is, of course, the announcement to do to Shuva. Pasuk Gimel. Vayokam Yonah, Yonah got up, eilecha, nimbe, went to nimbe, kibba Hashem, like the word of God. Veninbe hoisa, I have a very strange wording. Veninbe hoisa, irgadolu, lelekim. Literally, Nineveh was a big town to God. Mahalach Shalosh Yamim, a journey of 3 days. What on earth does it mean that Nineveh was a big town to God, Lelekim? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu got to do with the size of Nineveh?
What's the special interest of Hashem in Nineveh?
Oh, what?
Rosh Hashanah anyway.
Yeah, it seems that because he wanted them to attack Eretz Yisrael later in the time of Sancheirev, Akash Rach had an interest in keeping the nation going up until that point. So they were ultimately for our own punishment. Yeah, amazing. So the Nivah is Ergedol Lelekim. Nivah is a big town Lelekim to Akash Rach, Malach Shlosh Yisrael. What does it mean, Ergedol Lelekim? So the Radak points out that the word Lelekim has actually nothing at all to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. It doesn't mean it was a big town devoted to God. They weren't devoted. Sorry? Not judges, I don't know. The Radak points out that when we want to illustrate the magnitude of something, we borrow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name lends magnitude to an item. And it quotes a pasuk, we say every Shabbos Mincha, Tzidkascha Kaharerei Kael. Your Tzidkus is like the mountains of God. Meaning huge mountain, meaning great tzidkus. So Kaharei Kel, nothing to do with mountains of God, it's just we're borrowing, meaning a huge mountain. Likewise, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, referring to a very large flame, Eish Shalheves Yor. Shalheves Yor is one word, but it's really a contraction of two words. Shalheves means a flame, Ka of God, meaning a very, very large flame. Likewise here, Egedol Elokim is a very large town. It just means an extremely large town. How big was it? Malach Shlosh Yisyomim, journey of 3 days. Now, how do you measure a town in distance, a journey of 3 days? So the Ibn Ezra points out, this 3 days is the circumference of the town. If you would walk around the circumference, not necessarily it was a circular town, but around the perimeter of the town would be a 3 day journey. The Radak disagrees. The Radak says, no, it's not the circumference, it's the diameter of the town would have been a 3 day journey, which of course means that it means much bigger, absolutely. 3 days, as I saw in Rabbeinu Art Scroll, he points out, so Art Scroll points out, and I can't remember where they're quoting from someone, that the Gemara says in Pesachim, Tzadik Gimel on the base, that a person can walk 10 parasatos in a day, 26 miles. You could cycle, whatever, right? So you can walk 26, so the Gemara says 10 parasatos is a walking thing, is a distance a human being can walk in a day, which translates into being 26 miles. So you've got 3 days. 3 days is 78 miles. So according to the Ibn Ezra, the circumference or the perimeter would have been 78 miles, and according to the Radak, it would be much bigger with the diameter being 78 miles.
Slightly M25.
Is that right?
Yeah, because M25 is about 70 miles.
Really? M25 is 70 miles. Really?
Marathon.
Oh, 26. Ah, 26. Ah, right, of course. Ah, but that's running, not walking.
Wow.
Okay. It's true, actually. You look at me, I can't tell if you're walking or running.
I'm getting.
Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayochel Yena. We've got 4 minutes. We're not going to manage it. Never mind. Vayochel Yena love of it. And Yena began to come into the town. Mahalach Yom Echad, one day's journey. So he just walked 1 day into the town. He walked for 1 day into the town. I'll come back to that in a minute. Vayikra, and he called out by Yomar. He said, Oda Bam Yom, another 40 days for Nineveh, because the Nineveh will be turned upside down. Nineveh will be overturned or overthrown. Now, very interesting. If you learn like the Ibn Ezra, that the perimeter of the town was 3 days, it was a 3 day journey, in that case, the diameter would have been, is pi d, oh, one more time. Sorry, 2 pi r.
I think it's 2 pi r.
Yeah. It's approximately 3 times the radius.
Yeah,
alright. So then he's only walked part way through the journey. And according to the... he's walked most of the way through the town, I think. According to the Radak, if it's a 3 day journey from end to end, then he's just walked a third of the diameter. At any rate, he's walked for 1 day into the town, and he announces, OWM, another 40 days, when Nineveh will be turned upside down. Now, if I'm allowed to, I'll just say, I've often wondered, why 40 days? I have not seen this anywhere. Why 40 days? Why didn't he give them more time? Why didn't he give them less time to do teshuvah? Why 40 days? And I guess because 40 days is this month that we have from Rosh Chodesh. There's 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul through to Yom Kippur. There's a 40-day period of teshuvah. You've got another 40 days till...
Another 40? We don't know how long it's gone on.
No, from now. OWM, 40 days from now. The Nineveh will be turned upside down.
An additional
40
days.
Additional from now. from now. It was from then. So I reckoned it was because 40 days is the classic time for teshuva from the beginning of Elul through to Yom Kippur. I haven't seen it anywhere. The name in Nepal has never turned upside down. So the Mefarshim say this was an ambiguous statement, deliberately ambiguous. The name in Nepal has never turned upside down. In other words, what Yonah was saying was as follows: one way or another, this town will be overturned. If you don't do teshuva, then that's it. The town is going to be overthrown and it will be a disaster zone like Sodom and Amorah. If you do teshuva, then v'nimben epoches, you will overthrow your own lifestyles. You'll turn around your lifestyles, you'll do teshuva. So one way or another, the town will be overturned. Either they'll be destroyed, or you'll do teshuva. And but both of them can carry the expression epoches.
I feel we are not being told all about Nineveh. Because later on Pasuk 5, it says, Vayaminu anshei Nineveh belokim. What more would you want?
Well, after the warning.
After this warning. Warning. Now they believe. Now they believe. This is the Musa Joshua that did the trick.
Then they listen.
Now they listen. Yeah. Okay, Pasuk 8. Vayaminu. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh belokim. And the people in Nineveh believed in God. Vayikru tzom. And they announced a fast. So all the classic format to do to teshuva. Vayil b'shusakim. And they wore sackcloth. Mikadon v'adkatanim. From their greatest to their lowest. They all wore sackcloth. Every one of them. Now, the Radak points out that the sailors who had been on the boat with Yonah had by now arrived in Nineveh. Don't forget, Yonah's had all the time in the fish or fishes, and then he had to get to Nineveh, and the sailors were there, and they substantiated Yonah's story. They were Bali Teshuva, or maybe even Gerim, at least Bali Teshuva, if not Gerim, and they substantiated Yonah's story, and therefore they helped Yonah get everybody in Nineveh to do Teshuva.
Was that their destination in the first place?
Wasn't? Sorry?
Nineveh wasn't their destination in the first place.
No, it seems not. They were heading for Tarshish. Although the Targum said that Tarshish just means the sea.
But not necessarily. They weren't necessarily, he was getting away from Nineveh,
but
he still wanted to get away from Nineveh.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did they end up in Nineveh? Or maybe they were on a separate journey. I don't know what the time lag was between Yonah's being on the ship with them and his eventual arrival in Nineveh. Don't know how long it took.
The storm took.
Yeah. At any rate, they went. They
ancient Assyria, I think Tarshish was a different place.
Oh, well, according to the Ibn Ezra, Tarshish.
According to the Ibn Ezra, Tarshish is in North Africa, Tunisia, while according to the Targum, Tarshish is just translated as Yama, someplace out in the sea. Thank you for listening to this share on Sefer Yonah. The quality of the recording is poor for the next 3.5 minutes, but please persevere.
That is a wind. 3 days from where?
Well, so it's not going to be from that far, otherwise it would have been a 3-day journey.
No, the size of Nineveh was 3 days. It wasn't necessarily a 3-day journey to Nineveh, yeah. We know that was the size of Nineveh, yeah.
Yeah, no,
so I'm doing the speed as much as I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Now, when did the seven, that's it, but it's wearing it, it doesn't matter, Lurash. When did the people in Nineveh believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let me just get this right. Let's go into Pasuk 4. The matter reached the king of Nineveh. He's now heard of Yonah's arrival and Yonah's message. Allah come kiss him, he got up from his throne. By Allah, I doubt to know he removed his robe from upon him. By Hasak, he covered himself in sackcloth. By Yeshua, by Raver, and he sat on ashes. So he's joining the Teshuvah drive. Yeah. And of course, everybody, if the king does it, then of course everybody's going to do it. So exactly when did this happen? So the Ibn Ezra points out that, first of all, the Yonah's message first reached the king. In other words, the Ibn Ezra points out that the Pesukim are not quite in chronological order. Pasuk Vav tells us that the word reached the king in Nineveh, and he does Teshuvah. Pasuk Hey tells us that the people do Teshuvah. So according to the Ibn Ezra, the king came first. Because the king did Teshuvah, therefore everybody else did. However, Pashup Shat, and I don't remember where I saw this, Pashup Shat is no. The people did Teshuvah willingly, of their own free will, then
Hassan Vav, then the world reached the king anyway, and he did Teshuva, and he passed it as a national law that you must all now do Teshuva. Their Teshuva up till then had been voluntary, but now it's compulsory by the national law of Ninveh. Okay, who was this king? Who was he? So there's a Rashi, not Rashi on here, but Rashi somewhere else, and I didn't see it, I could see it quoted, but this king was none other than Sanherib himself, who later on was going to lead away all the northern tribes of Israel. Sanherib himself. And according to the Medrash in the Pekut and Lezer, it was Paro, the self-same Paro who had been in Egypt. Amazing, really, because we're talking hundreds and hundreds of years later, to the time the first place of Mikdash, hundreds of years later, since it's Yisrael time. There is that king Paro, who has survived the Yam Suf and has gone back to his own country, which is of course in devastation, and he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu very well. He's had enough experience, and now he's leading his Tamil Nineveh to do Teshuva. Really? But the Paro did not die in the Yam Suf. So when that Medrash Paro died at the Yam Suf. Interesting. But the Kippur told me that it says the Pasuk Lomishar Ad Echad, I think the Pasuk says, but Medirin Ad Echad and Tzurwa, meaning one did survive. So maybe it's Machlokas between the Medrash, because that Medrash Paro was the sole survivor of the Yam Suf. So maybe it's Machlokas.
Can you continue this sometime?
Continuing on Sunday, Dalad Tishri Toshin Samach Hay, 19th of September 2004. Just one very small thing still from last week, just for the sake of the tape and also just for the sake of correctness. We quoted the pasuk last week of Adabar Asher Bayah Mesa. Do you remember we had the chat that the word Dogor meant a dead fish, while Dog meant a live fish? I just got the quotation a little bit wrong. I said last week it's in Pasha's bow, of course it's not, it's in Pasha's Va'era. That's just for the sake of the tape and the correctness. Okay, we're up to Perek Gimel, and we're up to Pasuk Vav, which we actually did. We did Pasuk Vav last week, we'll just go through it again just for the sake of getting back into it. The story so far, Ren has run away, he's been told to go to Greenbay, he ran away, ship that is on its way to and from Tarshish, wherever that is, and they threw him overboard. He davened in the fish, he's been spat out from the fish, he's now come to Nineveh, where he's where he's made his announcement of Odab on Yom Kippur, and Pasuk 40 days Nineveh will turn upside down. So if we go to Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, Vayibha Adab on Melech Nineveh. So Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, Vayigal Adav HaMelech Nineveh, the word reached the king in Nineveh, Vayokom Mikisa, got up from his throne, Vayavah Adav HaMelech, he removed his robe from upon him, Vayachasak, and Yom Kippur. Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav. Okay, Yom has arrived in Nineveh, and he's told people they've got to do Teshuva, and now the word gets to the king. So Pasuk Vav, Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, Vayigal Adav HaMelech Nineveh, it's just on the page before that. Oh no, there it is, it's on there.
Okay. So did we clear up last time with the Tarshish and Nineveh is the same?
They're not the same, not at all. No, Nineveh was the capital of Ashur, which was northeast of Eretz Yisrael, and Tarshish is according to the Ibn Ezra, it's Tunis in North Africa. Mm-hmm. According to the Targum, it's just another word for the Yamah, for the sea. Mm-hmm. It was just a seafaring ship. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, Vayigal Adav HaMelech Nineveh, the word reached the king of Nineveh, whom we said last week, Machlokus, according to one Pirush, was Sancheiriv himself, according to Rashi, someone else was Sancheiriv, whereas according to the Medrash in the Pekut of Lezer, it was none other than Paro, who had been the king in Mitzrayim. Vayakom Yekisse, got up from his throne, Vayavah Adav HaMelech, he removed his royal robe from upon him, Vayachasak, he covered himself in sackcloth, Vayishav Alarifah, and he sat on ashes. And he's going to now lead the Teshuva drive.
And we mentioned the Machlokas last week as to when did this happen. According to the Ibn Ezra, this happened before the people did Teshuvah. We have in Pasuk Hey that the people started doing Teshuvah, they wore sackcloth and they started fasting. But according to the Ibn Ezra, Sikkim are not quite a similar sequence. The king was the first one to start the Teshuvah movement, and everybody else followed suit. The Sikkim are not necessarily written in chronological order. That is how the Ibn Ezra lands. But more Pasuk Pshat is that the people started doing Teshuvah, then, as we learn in Pasuk Hey, then the king of Nineveh, he does Teshuvah as well, and the Teshuvah of the people was originally a voluntary thing. Those who felt they wanted to do Teshuvah did. Now that the king does Teshuvah, he makes it a national issue, a national law, but everybody else has to follow suit, and so they do. And that you get really in Pasuk Zayin, which we have now, where the king commands that everybody has to do Teshuvah. Vayazik. The king caused an announcement. It's Zainan Kuf, which means to call out, but it's in the Hifa, which means he caused an announcement. Vayazik, the king caused an announcement. He feel like he proclaimed. He got the word around. Vayari said, from the decree of the king and his great people, his advisors, Neymar saying, and here's the law. Ha'odam ba'behimah, man, animals, habakar, herd, which are cows and bulls and so on, large animals, vahatsun, and the smaller animals, the sheep and goats, the flock, al yitam roma, they may not taste anything, al yiru, they should not graze in the fields, or ma'am al ishtu, and they should not drink water. So it's an amazing thing. He's proclaiming a tannis, but it's a tannis with a huge difference. There's never been a tannis like it, neither before nor since. Because here you have a tannis for animals as well. The animals have to fast as well. He's not allowing the animals to eat out. No one's allowed to taste anything. No grazing, no man yishtu. So, the first thing to note is a beautiful thought which I heard from my father many years ago. It's a marvelous thing. But and I say this in school, when I teach this possible school, I always say your name. And you said it, I believe, in the name of Rabbi Mendel Zechanan Bracha from Gate said. That the word tes ayin mem, ta'am, has two different meanings. It can either mean a reason, or it can mean a taste. So, ta'am as in taste. These two translations of the ta'am, either reason or taste. So, and we said that when we speak of ta'am ha-mitzvahs, it's not necessarily a reason behind the mitzvah, because we're human beings can't really get to the bottom of the mitzvahs, even with all the svarim and the sefachimuch and the Rav Sajigon and all the other svarim, they go into the reasons of the mitzvahs. That's tamei ha-mitzvahs, the reasons of the mitzvahs, but really those tamei ha-mitzvahs are mere tastes of what the mitzvah is about. We can't possibly hope to understand what the mitzvahs are really about, so what we think of the tamei ha-mitzvahs, the reasons of the mitzvahs, are really mere tamei ha-mitzvahs, shmek, a taste of what the mitzvah is about. Yes? In this pasuk we have the word ta'am twice, once for each. Mita'am ha-melech u'gedolav is from the reason of the king, i.e. from the ideology of the king or the decree of the king, that's ta'am ha-melech. And the second one is al yitam u'l-umma, don't taste something. So you've got the same word ta'am when it's two different reasons in the same pasuk. Okay, so he says, so why on earth are we making the animals fast? So the Pharisees say the reason why the animals had to fast was in order to give tsa'ar to their owners. Obviously, the animals had done enough. What's the point in making animals fast? It was purely and simply that if the owners see the animals in tsa'ar, then that will increase the owners' tsa'ar and will help their teshuvah as well. And we're going to see later in Pasuk Ches that the animals also wore sackcloth for the same reason. So if the animals are in discomfort, then that in turn will make the owners feel a certain discomfort and will also help them do teshuvah. So one interesting thing in this Pasuk is we have a bit of repetition here. It says, Adam da behema, and then it says, Habakkuk ba'atzun. And surely behema, animals, is all-inclusive and should surely include bakar and tzon. Why on earth does the Pasuk elaborate on bakar and tzon having established already behemoth? And that's a question that I'm not entirely clear on. I don't really know an answer for it, other than some of them are fashion differentiated in bakar and behemoth and bakar and tzon, that some refers to the domestic animals and some refers to animals which are out in the fields. And with that you can also understand a little bit of repetition, because it says al yitam u'l-umma, don't taste anything. Well, once you establish don't taste anything, why then do you also need to say al yiru, they shouldn't graze? And why should it say, oh, my man, you shouldn't, drink anything? Surely, once you establish that Nisan Ruva Umar, that's an absolute tamis, and how on earth should they, would you expect them to be able to graze or to drink any water? So some of us should say that the hema, that ayiru is an expression for them out in the field. The animals that are out in the field, ayiru, they're not allowed to graze. In other words, they can eat without any human intervention. They don't need to be fed. Ayiru, they're out in the fields and they're just grazing. Whereas umayma nishtu, whereas ayitamu yu'uma is a reference, don't even give them any food. Animals that are indoors, don't you feed them. You had to make sure would have to remove the food from them so that they wouldn't be able to eat anything. I suppose the animals that are out in the fields were made to be muzzled, so they wouldn't be able to graze. A man that used to, and they shouldn't drink anything. No one, no people and no animals weren't allowed to drink anything. And man and animals should all wear sackcloth. They should cover themselves with sackcloth. They should cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chazka, with strength. This is the king's edict. And each man should go back from his bad way, or from the stolen property that is in their hands.
Where do we know that they recognize Hashem?
The pasuk said, Pasuk Hey, Vayamin Hashem in the Elohim. We learned something about that the sailors who were on board with Yona arrived in Nineveh and were backing up Yona's story. Yeah? Okay, so Pasuk Hey, it's casting like a mud on the hymn, they've got to wear sackcloth again, the animals as well, to give the animals tzahar in turn to give the owners tzahar. The Yikra Elohim b'chazka, she couldn't attack Hashem with chazka, with strength. What's the pshat b'chazka? So the Mepharshim say, I don't remember what I saw before, the Mepharshim say that the kind of attack on Shem, if you want us to have rachmanis on these animals, to feed the animals and to take the sackcloth off the animals, then you have rachmanis on us. So it's almost like it's a very strange way of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what it says b'chazka, with strength, almost as if they're putting pressure on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want us to have rachmanis on them, you have rachmanis on us, which is a very strange way of governing. But it was all down the Shem Shemayim, and it was improper to Shuvah, and so it's all very much to their credit. But we would view that as a strange way of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they're always making threats to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if you don't have rachmanis on us, we will continue being cruel to these animals. And each man should do teshuvah, and in particular from the chomos. Chomos is theft with violence. The Gemara in Bavli defines chomos as a lower degree of theft. It's where a person buys an item by force. So the seller says, I'm sorry, this item is not for sale. And the buyer pulls out a gun and says, oh yes, it is for sale. If it's not for sale, I'll shoot. But I'll pay you for it. So it's a purchase, but it's done by force, which the Gemara defines as a form of geneva, of course, because the person never had any intention of selling it. And the halacha is that it's a form of chamos, it's a form of theft, even if the guzman pays way over the odds for it. Even if it's an item worth £100 and he says, here's £1,000, but I'm forcing you to sell it to me against your will, that is still a form of geneva. So that's the chamos of Shem HaKadem. And we learned earlier that the primary avira of the Anshei Nineveh was the avira of Gezer. That was their main avira. This morning, I noticed in the Slichos, in the Pismon, there's reference to Nineveh, and it says they have very sharp tongues, which I didn't get to look at them in the flesh, and I assume it might mean that they spoke badly to each other, but according to which might, that Pismon didn't say anything about Geneva, but their primary avira was Gezer, which is why it says that you've got to do Teshuvah, and the Chamos of Shem HaKadem, and all stolen items will need to be returned. The Gemara says in Tanis, the end of Tanis, that they have a halacha called Takonos Hashavi, that if a person steals a beam and builds that beam into his house, and then he decides he wants to do teshuvah, we're not mechayv him to knock down his whole house.
This very important.
Really? Can I? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a takana. There's a takana to help people do teshuvah. We don't force them to knock down the whole house in order to return the stolen beam. So no, you are chayv for that stolen beam to pay the value of the beam, but you don't need to knock down your own house to do it. That's in order to assist people in their drive to do teshuvah. However, the Anshei Nineveh went very much lifnim l'shur sadim, and if they would have stolen the beam and built the beam into the house, they tuck and knock down the whole house in order to return that one stolen beam. So it's an unbelievable if no mishos had in here. I'm going to chamas Hashem b'chapeyim. Yeah, pasuk tes. Mi yodea Yashiv. Yeah, Miodea Yashiv. Who knows? Let's translate it literally. Miodea, who knows? Yashiv, he should do teshuvah. V'nicham olekim, and God will relent. V'shof mecharen apu, and he will turn back from his belly, and there will no way he won't perish. This is still the king giving his law, to his instruction to the people, do teshuvah. Now, how exactly to define this phrase, Miodea Yashiv, is machlokus between Rashi and Radak. Rashi says, Miodea, let's think, we'll do the possible according to Rashi. Miodea, whoever knows how to do teshuvah, Yashuv, he should do teshuvah. And then the Nechamel again, God will relent, the Shabbat ran up and he'll turn back from his burning anger, the Lenovid will perish. That is how Rashi learns. The Radak learns slightly differently. The Radak learns it as a kasha. Miodea, who knows? Who knows what might happen? Yashuv, do teshuvah, every person should do teshuvah, and then who knows what might happen? Maybe the Nechamalakim, maybe Akash Bokhu will relent, for the Shabbat Ram up and will turn back from his burning anger, will remember to perish. So Miodea is Machlokes Rashi and Adak. Rashi knows Miodea, whoever knows how to do it, whereas the Adak knows Miodea, who knows what might happen? The English translation we've got here is, the translation says, who can tell? Who can tell what will happen? Do teshuvah, maybe Akash Bokhu will forgive us. Pasuk Yud. By now, Elohim is Matzen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their actions. Kishavim Yedakam Arah, that they turned back from their bad way. By Nacham Elohim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relented. Literally, it means he changed his mind. Well, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes his mind. It appears to us that he changed his mind. By Nacham Elohim Arah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relented on the evil Asher Dibur that he had spoken Masa sent to do to them, and he didn't do it. So now we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this chapter finishes on a high, it's wonderful, the people do teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes their teshuvah, and so
nothing happened to them.
And nothing happened, absolutely nothing, no destruction. And that goes back to what we learned earlier, of Odak Bar Yodhani Nehmeh Paches, that Yodhani deliberately worded this in the ambiguous way, Nehmeh Paches, Nehmeh will be turned upside down one of two ways. Either you won't do teshuvah and the town will be destroyed and turned upside down through destruction, or you will do teshuvah, in which case your way of life will be turned around. So that's Nimin Apachas, in which case nothing will happen other than your way of life will be turned around. And again, the Gemara says on this pasuk, the Rambam Tanis, Tezlam and Valach, the Gemara says that the pasuk is very meduk. It does not say Vayar Elokim Esakom Ves Tanisam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their sackcloth and their tanis. No, those are the trappings to the teshuvah. That's not the teshuvah. The sackcloth is not the main thing, and the tanis is not the main thing. Those are just that's not the main thing. He saw it from our sin, he saw their actions, and that's the main thing, and actions speak louder than Tamisim and or Tamios and sackcloth.
So that there was an element of awareness when they did that to the animals.
Right, I've observed it wasn't to serve the animals. They weren't serving the animals. They did it to give the animals discomfort in order to make themselves have more achmonas on the animals, and they would be distressed, an animal in distress, that they would be distressed, which would help them to teshuvah. And there's also part of the tefillah, you want us to be merachim on the animals, so you be merachim on us. That's Vayikra Elokim b'chazka. Without a minute, if I would just pop back to Pasuk Vav. I teach Sefer Yomim in school, but I teach it in a very different way. I teach it in school to teach Dikduk, and I teach it in a very we learn through Sefer Yomim over a period of 2 years, and very, very gradually introduce the rules of Dikduk. And Pasuk Vav, I tell them a very sweet thing in Dikduk. The Vayiga, the Shosh of the word Vayiga, is Nun Gimel Ayin, and the Nun, of course, has gone missing, which is why there's a dalish in the Gimel. Then you've got the next verb is Vayokom, and the Shosh is Kuf Vav Mem, and the Vav has gone missing. We don't replace the Vav, when the Vav goes missing, we don't replace it with the dalish. And then Vayachas, the Shosh is Chosan Chay, and the Hay has gone missing. And these are when a letter goes missing from a root, these are the classic letters that go missing. If the first letter goes missing, it's usually a Nun. If the middle letter goes missing, it's usually a Vav, as in Vayakam. If the last letter goes missing, it's usually a Hey, as in Vayachas. So it's rather very beautiful community pasuk. I've got those three examples all in one pasuk of the Nun from the first root letter going missing, the Vav of the second letter going missing, and the Hey of the third root letter going missing. So it's really addictive. That's when I use that pasuk as the Hey on which to hang that rule of TikTok. Okay, Peg Dalit. Vayera Yonah Ra'a Gedola, and it was very bad to Yomar, Ra'agdola, very bad. Yomar became very depressed, and he became angry. The Lashon Vayicha really means to be hot. It comes from the Sheresh Ches Reish Reish, which is why a Harara, the Mishnah speaks about a Harara for Gal. A Harara is a roll, or a piece of bread, which is baked directly on the coals. Harara, because it's charred through. In fact, the English word to char comes from Ches Reish Reish, that root. So Vayicha needs to become hot. So anger and heat are connected. Person gets all quite red in the face, such. Yom became very, very upset. It was extremely bad to Yom. The situation was extremely bad to Yom. Yom became very angry. So why exactly was he angry? So there's a number of different shittas in the Shani as to why he became angry. The Ibn Ezra says, why did he become angry? He was angry that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave. He didn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive. He didn't want him to forgive. He wanted an exact punishment from Nineveh for all our various, which is a very, very hard shot to understand, because surely Teshuvah is the overall answer to these Averis, and surely Yomar should have been delighted. He should have been delighted. He came along to get him to do Teshuvah. His mission was a total success. They did Teshuvah, he should be dancing for joy. No, he's very upset. Why is he upset? So Ibn Ezra says because HaKadosh Baruch Hu went back on this Nevuah that they would be destroyed. I really don't understand that shot.
I always thought that it was because they were going, they do teshuvah, they're told by the Navi, do teshuvah, they do. And yet when the Navi told the Yidden to do teshuvah, they didn't.
Oh, that's definitely not a shot. And that's, and in fact, that was Yom's whole reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh in the first place. That's the main pshat given by Rashi, why he didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. Yeah. In fact, I can see from my notes, that is the pshat brought by the Red Duck. Oh, shkech. The Sephano learns differently. The Sephano learns, why was he ever so upset? Because in the future, this town, Nineveh, capital city of Asher, were going to lead the raid or the attacks against the northern Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Sanherib. It was approximately 60 years later. And he knew before this was going to happen, and he's had a hand in saving this town, which is eventually going to take off the climb some to Dallas. And that was the last thing he wanted. So that's what upset him. Rashi learns a very strange pshat. Rashi says, why was Yonah so upset? Because he said, I've told the Lord I'm to be destroyed. Now, my reputation will plummet like a stone, because I'll go down in history as a Navi Sheker. And this time in Nineveh will see me as a Navi Sheker. Really strange pshat. Maybe it's connected to the fact that Yonah had been one of those Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael who told Klal Yisrael to do Teshuvah on many occasions, and they had laughed him out of court, and they thought it was a big joke. And so generally, his career as a Navi was generally not successful. So, at least with Klal Yisrael, with Nineveh, it would have been successful. But he said, now the town's not going to be destroyed, I'll go down in history as a Navi Sheker. The Ibn Ezra. One important thing here is, when did this happen? What we're now going to learn is that Yonah feels very upset about Nineveh's teshuvah, and he's going to build himself this little hut, and the kikoyim, this plant, will grow. So the question is, when in the story, at what stage in the story did this happen? So the Ibn Ezra learns Poshup Shat, and the Psukim at this stage follow a chronological sequence. He told them they're going to do Teshuvah. They did Teshuvah within the 40-day period. 40 days go by, they're not destroyed, and now Yonah's all upset about it. And then this pasuk comes at the end of the period of 40 days. Whereas the Radak learns, no. The Radak says that these pasukim we're going to learn now took place chronologically during the 40-day period. And he sees them doing teshuvah, and he knew the nevuah that they would complete their teshuvah and that they would do a really perfect job of it. And it was still during the 40-day period that Yonah became very depressed and upset, and he built a sukkah for protection from the sun, and he's watching what they're going to do. So there's Machlokes of Mezah and Radak. Mezah learns it's after the 40-day period, and Radak learns it's during the 40-day period. Okay, positive this. By spelling on Hashem, meaning Dhamma Takut Shabbat by Yom, and he said, on Hashem, please Takut Shabbat Hu, how low is there to worry? Wasn't this my word? Isn't this what I said all the way back at Hayosi while I was still Alav Nasi on my land? Isn't this what I said then? I'd said that they would do Teshuvah. I knew they would do Teshuvah. I didn't want to come to Nimitz. I didn't want them to do Teshuvah. Isn't this exactly what I said would happen has indeed happened? So, hello, said Devari, wasn't this my word after you said I had Mossy while I was still on my land? Al came, that's exactly why Kidanti I hurried Livrach Tashisha. That's why I hurried to Tashish. I didn't want them to do Teshuvah. As we said earlier, because it was Shah Klal Yisrael, it'd be a big kitchen against Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael continued that verse. They're going to do Teshuvah, and that's exactly what I did not want to happen. Kiyatati, because I knew, Kiyatok El Cham Livrachum, I knew you were a gracious and merciful God, Erech Hapayim, very slow to anger, Erech Hesed, plenty of kindness, and Lichem Al Arah, and that you would relent on evil. And I knew they would do Teshuvah, and I knew you would forgive them. They don't should you have forgiven them, and now the whole story is sort of flying back at me in my face. So, you know, it's all going against me. I didn't want them to do Teshuvah, I didn't want you to forgive them, and I wanted them to be destroyed. And I suppose the main pshat in this is the pshat that we learn from Rashi, that because it shows up Klal Yisrael for not doing Teshuvah, for persisting in that verse and not doing Teshuvah. Possible. Vata, and now, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach nois nashi mimeni, please take my life from me. He wants his davening to die. Why? Ki tevos mechayoi, my death is better than my life. We've already learnt how Yomer wanted to die. We learnt earlier that he went down, the Yomer Yad Eliakis Le'a Sefin Rabbi Yishkab Yer Adam, he went down, he wanted to die, and we had a chat from the Malbin that the Onir changes in, says Sefinah, he wanted to hide on the boat, Sefinah, and Sofman, he wanted to hide in order that he should not be found when the boat would sink. He wanted to commit suicide, but he couldn't do it himself. He couldn't kill himself directly, because that's also according to the Torah. So instead, he's not doing it directly, he's doing it indirectly. He's done it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should kill him. Very, very strange. He's totally depressed. It's very strange. Very strange.
From the
beginning
to the end?
Yeah, why should he be so depressed? It's very strange. Kitev Mesmech, I wrote, my death is better than my life. So, the Ibn Ezra learned, why is he so desperate to die? He does not want to live to see the downfall of Klal Yisrael. He was sure, now that Nineveh have done Teshuvah, Klal Yisrael are steadfastly refusing to do Teshuvah from their avarice, Klal Yisrael will definitely come to a sticky end, and I don't want to be around to see it. I don't want to see the punishments meted out against Klal Yisrael. Nineveh are getting away with it, Klal Yisrael won't, and I don't want to see that. That's why he's standing for thank you to Mason Achayah, my life is better, my death is better than my life. Possibly that.
They're foreign gods still.
They're
abandoning their foreign gods.
Klal Yisrael?
No. The
main Avera of Nineveh was not Avera of Nineveh. The main Avera of Nineveh was theft, and they've done Teshuvah for that.
But they
Yes, they did. The
Pasuk
said earlier,
and they had no rivals.
Did they have idols? I don't know if they had idols. If you go to the Assyrian room in the British Museum, which is a fascinating place, you'll see there were plenty of idols.
They had idols. They weren't turning away from idolatry.
Maybe they were as well. Maybe they were. Maybe they did. But Yamina Shani Lebelukim is a good raya that they chucked out their idols. Otherwise it's not a minna. By Yamina Shani Lebelukim, they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve idols. So it must be that they chucked out their idols at that stage.
British Museum in Britain.
Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yonah, Haheitev Haralach, are you really so angry? The Radak learns this is a rhetorical question. Are you really so upset? Are you so upset that this time in Nineveh did Teshuvah? How on earth can you be so upset? You should be jumping for joy. Are you really so upset? Pasuk Kei. Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir, and Yonah went out from the town, from Nineveh. Vayeshev Mekedim Meir, and he sat on the eastern side of the town. Vayas Lo Sham Sukkah, and he made himself a hut. Vayeshev Tachteha Batzel, and he sat underneath it in the shade. Ad Asher until he would see Ma'ir Abay, until he would see what would happen in the town. The machlokes I mentioned earlier is very much megeah to this pasuk. Machlokes, when did this happen? when did he leave Nineveh to watch, Adashahira, to see what would happen in the town? When did he leave the Nineveh in order to watch? So the Ibn Ezra says, this is a flashback, the Ibn Ezra learns this is what he did during the 40 days. During the 40 days, he had left Nineveh in order to sit in the sukkah and watch what would happen, to see if they really would do teshuvah. And the Radak learns, no, this happened after the 40 days. What we now have is what happened after the 40 days. And he wanted to see, so what is there to see? If 40 days have gone by, they've done teshuvah, what would happen? So he wanted to see, how long can they keep the teshuvah up for? Right, so that first day after Yom Kippur, it's not so easy, or my way, it's Yom Kippur, it's not so easy to daven the Kavanah. He wanted to see, are they going to keep this up for very long or not? Didn't see what would happen in the town. Would they really stand true to their teshuvah or not? Why did he need the sukkah? Simply for itself, for shade. He needed the shade, and nothing more, nothing less. Possible. By man Hashem the king kikoyim, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu prepared a kikoyim, a certain type of bush. Oh, no one's going to tell us what it was. We'll see what it was. Hakadosh Baruch Hu prepared a kikoyim tree. And it rose up above you, to be a shade over his head, so to save him from his evil. We'll see what the evil is. And Yonah rejoiced tremendously over the kikoyim. He was delighted with this kikoyim. So, first of all, the word vayaman is interesting because it's the same word as we had earlier at the beginning of the paper. It's vayaman Hashem dol godol, when Hashem prepared the large fish to swallow him up. Now you have the same word vayaman. Also interestingly, here's Hashem Elokim. You have a combination of midas harachamim, Hashem, together with Elokim with midas hadin. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him this kikoyim to give him more shade, which looks like rachmanus. But because we know the end of the story is that this kikoyim is going to wither away, coupled with the rachmanus, the temporary relief from the sun of the kikoyim, provided by the kikoyim, which is of course rachmanus, minas rachmin, Hashem, is also the knowledge that eventually the kikoyim is going to go. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave him this kikoyim in order to take it away again, to teach him a particular lesson. So the whole rachmanus of giving him the kikoyim is very much tempered by the midas hadin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the kikoyim away, which is why it's Hashem and Elohim together. It's midas harachmin with midas hadin. The kikoyim, what is the kikoyim? So Rashi doesn't tell us what species it is. He simply says it's a plant with very large leaves, and it obviously had to have large leaves because it's going to provide him with the shade. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kafal Famad Aleph, defines kikoyim. In fact, the Rav mentioned this just the other day when we did the Mishnah, the Shemen Kik, is that Shemen Kik, which is considered fine for licensing Meiros of Shabbos, the Shlokish in the Gemara says Shemen Kik comes from the kikoyim bush, the kikoyim tree. The Ibn Ezra says, who cares what it is? The Ibn Ezra actually says, Ein Tzorech L'da'as Mahu. You don't need to know what it is. It's very strange to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is usually very technical in his Pirush, on Chumash and on Tanakh. And he likes to get to the very bottom of things, like when it came to learning what Tarshish was, the Ibn Ezra says, yeah, that's Tunis. So that normally likes to define it. But here the Ibn Ezra says, I don't know and I don't care. Ein Tzorech, you don't need to know what it is. What's this Lahatzalemura also? The kikoyim tree is there, it's grown up above Yonah, it's risen up above Yonah. We must tell our Rosh to be a shade. Lahatzalemura is to save him from his evil. What's this evil? So Rashi learns Pashup Shat to save him from the heat of the sun. He was in terrible pain from the sun, even though he's got the sukkah seems not to be enough, and the kikoyim is there for extra shade. The Mahari Korah on the Pasuk points out furthermore, he says, why does Yonah need special protection from the sun? He's already built himself a sukkah. Isn't that enough? No. Why isn't it enough? Because he spent time in the water. Time in the water, and therefore, as a result of that, it made his skin very sensitive to the sun. And he quotes there in the Medrash that his hair fell out. I mentioned it earlier when we said that he came out of that fish in a really sorry state, that his hair had fallen out, and that and the time in the water, in the salt water of the sea, made his skin very sensitive. And the Ibn Ezra says it's very similar shot, but with a slight difference, not the time in the water, but the time in the fish. And makes his skin super sensitive to the heat of the sun, and therefore, as a result of that, his hair, as a result of that, he needed this extra protection from the from the sunshine. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. Then Pasuk Vav. No, that's it. That was Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin. Vayaman Elohim to la'as. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu prepared the same word again, Vayaman. Hashem prepared it to la'as, a worm. Ba'alos HaShachar, in the early morning, Lamacharas, on the next day. In other words, the tree grew up overnight, and he's very happy about that. And now the next morning, I imagine it gave him shade for one day. So it grew up, and then gave him shade for a day, and then he wouldn't have needed much shade during the night, presumably, needing shade during the day. And now, early morning, the next morning, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares this talas, early the next morning, and what happens? It attacked the kikoyim, and it withered away and it dried up. Now here, you've got Vayaman HaElokim. Now you have the Minas Hadin. The Kikoyim is going to be, is now being removed, and therefore it's Minas Hadin without the Minas HaRachmin. What happened with this Vayaman HaShachar is early morning, the Abba the Mel points out that was actually before the time that the Yoram would need it. So maybe, I'm not sure about this, maybe the Abba the Mel is learning that it never actually gave him any practical help. It grew up overnight, he was delighted with it, but he never got to use it, because early the next morning it was destroyed. So I'm not sure whether it did give him shade for one day, or even no shade at all. And his simcha was a simcha over what he expected the kikoyim would do, but in fact never did. One interesting point of dikduk on this pasuk is that the word atach, I tell the lads in school, this is my favourite word in the whole of Sefer Yoma, because the Shoresh of the Rebbe Atach is Nun Chav Hei, and the Nun has dropped out, and the Hei has dropped out, and all we've got left in the Shoresh is one letter, Chav. It's very unusual, you lose two letters of the Shoresh, another word like Vayet, he turned, is also Nun Tes Hei, and the Nun drops out, first letter of the Shoresh, and the Nun, that goes, and the Hei is the last letter, and that goes, but you're left with one letter only of the Shoresh. It's pretty unusual. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Vayhi kizrach ha-shemesh, and it was when the sun shone. Vayman elokim ruach kodrim chemishis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared, there's that word Vayman again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared a eastern wind, chayishis, that was silencing, or deafening maybe you could say. Vatach ha-shemesh, arosh yoma, and the sun smote the head of Yoma, heat. Vayisalof, and he fainted. In the heat, Vayishalas Nashalomus, and he begged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his life, he begged of his life that he should die. Vayom again, he says, take mercy now, Vayom, my death is better than my life. So again, here we have, he's now lost the kikoyim, he's suffering in the heat, and he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be killed. Now, what I don't, one thing I'm not sure, first of all, Vayom Elohim, let's get through there. Vayigizach HaShemesh, the sun shines, Vayom Elohim. Again, pure Yidas Hadin. The sun is shining, and he's feeling the heat, and he's really, his skin is very sensitive, and he's suffering, says Elohim, without Hashem, Yidas Rachman, pure Yidas Hadin. Ruach Kodim, I'm not sure what the Ruach Kodim is. Does it mean a wind from the east, blowing from east to west, or is it from the west, blowing to the east? I'm actually not sure. Does anyone know?
The east.
What thing is
it?
From east to west. Oh, why? Because the sun is
east
is
in Israel.
It's hotter than the west.
It's hotter than the west.
Yeah?
When you're improving the air in place like that. The Makkah were the Arab air. They came from the east, and east wind brought them, and then they moved to the west.
And they blew off against the west. So it's also, that was still, we called them eastern wind.
Because
from east to west. Okay, so what about this one, Hadushis? It's a deafening wind. So Rashi defines what's deafening about it, is that it was such a loud wind that it would make all other winds pale into insignificance. So that's Hadushis, it like deafens all other winds. The Radak learns that it's deafening to human beings, that it was such a loud wind that anybody would hear it could go deaf from the noise in it. And of course we have a kasha on this pasuk. Why is Yoma suffering so much in the heat? He's got a sukkah. He's built himself a sukkah. The kikayon is the icing on the cake. He's already got a sukkah. So the Marikara answered, no, the sukkah got blown away in the wind. So now he's absolutely finished. He's got no sukkah, that blown away in the wind, like the story in 86. Yeah, so the sukkah got blown away in the wind, and the kikayon has now been attacked and is now withered away from the tobas. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Vayik. Now we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu making his big points to Yonah. So what is the point of the Kikayon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah and he says, "Hahitiv Charelecha la Kikayon. Are you really so upset about this Kikayon? Are you so upset that you've lost the Kikayon?" And he answers, Vayomer, he says, "For sure. Hahitiv Charelecha la Kikayon. I'm so upset almost to the point of death. I'm looking forward to my own death. I'm so upset about losing the Kikayon." So now we have the lesson. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lesson? Ayom HaShem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sister. Atar chasta la kikayon. You're sorry about the kikayon. You feel really sore about losing the kikayon. Ashelo amalta, but you never worked on it. That kikayon was a freebie. You never did a thing to make that kikayon grow. You never weeded it around. You never planted it. You didn't water it. Nothing. Ashelo amalta, you never worked it. Vilegi dalto, you never encouraged it to grow. You never grew it. Shebin laila haya, it literally means it was the sun of the night. In other words, it grew up overnight. And it got lost overnight. And it lost it in one night as well. In other words, it's here today and gone tomorrow. Literally, it came and it went. But you feel really sorry about it, but you never made any efforts to make that kikayon grow, and you feel really upset about it. From this passage, it would appear that he did have benefit from it for a day, because it's been laila haya. It was in one night. It came around in one night. It's been laila avad, and it went the next night. He's got a repetition of laila. Maybe it's two different nights. Unless you learn that no, he never had any benefit from it at all. It's the same laila. Bin Laila Haya, Bin Laila Avad. But you never made any efforts towards that kikayon. Va'ani, and I, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo achus al Nineveh. Should I not feel sorry for Nineveh? Of course I feel sorry for Nineveh. You feel sorry about losing that kikayon. I would feel terrible about losing Nineveh, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ani, lo achus al Nineveh. Should I not feel sorry for Nineveh? The great town, Asher Yesh Ba, which has in it, Harbin Mishen Nesir Ribo Odom, more than 12, Ribo is 10,000, one Ribo is 10,000, so it's 12 times 10,000, which is 120,000, Odom, people. It's got more than 120,000 human beings in that town. You want me to destroy that town? I would feel terrible about losing that town. They're my creatures. I created them. And you feel sorry about losing the kikayon. You didn't even work on it. I would feel terrible about destroying Nineveh. And they're not my creatures, my creations. So Asher Yesh Ba, Harbi Mishnei Nesu Yibba Adam, it's got more than 120,000 human beings. Asher Le Yada, they don't know Benyamin of Ismail, and these people, they don't know between their right hand and their left hand, over Hema Rabba, and there are also many animals in it. So what's this business about Adam Asher Le Yada, people who don't know between their left and their right, or between their right hand, in English, they don't know between your left hand and your right hand, the possibility is the other way around, your right hand and your left hand. So Rashi says, that is a reference to children. And children, what do they know? They don't know anything. You want me to destroy them? The people who know, they will have a clue what's... The children are not culpable. They're not blameworthy. They don't know between their right and their left. And they've got many animals in as well. And Rashi says, what's this Behema Rabba? Rashi says that Behema Rabba are the Gedolim, human beings, not real animals. Even the adults don't really know what they're on about. Even they don't know. They don't know who I am. They don't recognize me. They haven't had a chance to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know about me. And therefore, how can you blame even the adults? The Radak learns Pashuk Shap. Behema Rabba are these animals. You want me to destroy the whole... Really, you want me to destroy the whole... all the animals as well? What have the animals done wrong? How on earth would it be right for me to destroy them? So, and that's where the Sefer Yonah finishes. We learn a few more psukim on Yom Kippurim from Micha, I think, but I haven't prepared those psukim. The Yom Kippurim finishes off. What happens? What's the sofa nicer? No matter what goes on now. So the Yom Kippurim says, I read it out, but Ushasha, at that moment, Nofala, upon of Yonah fell on his face, but Amani said, Hamhig Olamcha, the Midas HaRachamim. Conduct your world with Rachmanus. The pasuk says, La Hashem Elokeinu HaRachamim V'Hasnichas. So in other words, Yonah woke up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmanus, and he got the message about the Kikayan. Yes, he felt sorry about losing the Kikayan. He hadn't worked on it, and with that, he understood that Kosh Bokhu was still so upset about destroying Ninve. So says Taka, a couple, you're Rachmanis, people should do Teshuvah, and with that, you can be Meracham on them. And I'm happy now that Ninve is done Teshuvah, and I'm happy that you've accepted the Teshuvah with your Rachmanis.
Two different